The government has declared climate change an emergency, but critics say that they are responding to the crisis with a distinct lack of urgency. The country's independent conservation organisation, Forest and Bird, is calling on the Prime Minister to crack the whip. Its Chief Executive, Kevin Haigh, joins us now. Kia ora, Kevin.
Kia ora, Karen.
Is it a choice between managing the pandemic or focusing on the climate, or do you think the Prime Minister can fight the war on both fronts?
Well, I think actually the country needs to be working on both fronts, because a lot of the issues that we're confronting around the pandemic are also going to be issues that we have to confront around climate change, and probably the biggest one is the assumption that business as usual, you know, the old way of doing things, can somehow be retained, is wrong in both cases. And actually, the solution lies to both lies in the same place, that actually we can recreate an economy that isn't so reliant on tourism, that isn't reliant on extractive industries, that is protective and restorative of nature, and that actually combats climate change. You know, there's serious jobs involved in combating climate change, and it seems to me that that's the area that the government should be seeking solutions in.
Well, there's murmuring in those areas, but nothing really seriously being done about it from witnessing it from a distance. And particularly in regard to the country opening up for tourism again, the tourism industry are very keen to have people back in exactly the same way as they were before.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, that it's almost, I mean, in both cases, you see interests that are, you know, pretty powerful, that are invested in the status quo, and so they want to believe that they will be able to return to doing business pretty much the way they have, and fundamental change seems unthinkable. And yet, in both cases, I mean, I'm talking about climate change particularly here, the status quo is what's got us into this problem. And just nudging it along with, as you say, sort of murmuring about doing something different is not going to get us to the solutions. It's actually going to see the problem becomes worse and worse.
So you say the old way of doing things. What's the new way of doing things from your perspective? What should we be doing?
Well, pretty clearly, we need to be, you know, fundamentally reducing the amount of carbon that we emit. I mean, that's at the most basic level.
Aren't we supposedly on track for doing that, though, when we look at the stats?
No, Karen.
They tell us we are.
We're miles off it. The independent climate action tracker, which is an independent international organisation, rates New Zealand's action as highly insufficient. Basically what they say, and it's absolutely true, is we've spent 30 years talking a big game, and we're still talking a big game, even a bigger game, but our action has been a long way behind our words. And, you know, the plan that New Zealand has submitted internationally is not enough, you know, to make our contribution to limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees. And our actual action is not even enough to deliver on what we've said we'll do. And emissions continue to rise. And so what we were really hoping for with the government's consultation document today in response to the Independent Climate Change Commission's final report was kind of a draft plan that actually would put us on track to achieving our fair share, or even achieving what we've said we'll do internationally. And what we've got instead is, for the most part, it's a fairly unprocessed brainstorm. And I guess what I think is that the government, after, you know, declaring a climate emergency, you know, roughly a year ago, has not committed the resource to actually properly investigate what needs to be done in order to implement the Climate Change Commission's recommendations.
So much of this document
is just, well, here's an idea. What do you think of this? You know, and you know, the time for that was 30 years ago, not now.
Okay, so let's just remind everybody of what those goals are. So New Zealand wants to reduce, or needs to reduce, greenhouse gas emissions. Am I right in saying by 30% below 2005 levels by 2030?
Well, that's our declared commitment.
That's our commitment.
That goal is still insufficient, but even if we started there, what we're planning to do is not adequate to achieve that.
We're not on track to achieve that. We keep getting told that we are, and we've also been told on a global scale, humanity, all of us on planet Earth, have been given a code red in regard to climate change. And so, Kevin, you've been an MP for the Greens, so you know how Parliament works, and you also must have many friends still in the Green Party. So what pressure are they putting on the Labor Party?
I can't speak for the Greens. I have friends right across Parliament and all sorts of parties, and I think the politics of climate change is terribly disappointing, you know, because it's one of those, you know, huge issues that New Zealanders expect all political parties to step up on and actually deliver. And instead, what we tend to see is a politics of political parties trying to say the right things, but not do things that might upset people by requiring them to change their behaviour. And
right.
Unfortunately, that's what we need. You know, we need fundamental change in the way that we live our lives, and government needs to show leadership on that. And what we've seen today really isn't leadership.
Well, so many people that we speak to from the media perspective, they trust that the government, you know, they trust the rhetoric that the government is doing what it says it's going to do. So as consumers, as punters who, you know, sit and wait for this to happen, knowing what state the planet's in, what can we do?
Well, there's lots of guides about how to change your individual behaviour, and it's really important that people do that. But the biggest thing, the most powerful thing that people can do, is to contact their MP, contact the Prime Minister, contact the Minister for Climate Change, and say, we don't expect just rhetoric. We actually need delivery. You know, we need action from government. We need it now.
Well, let's talk about coal for a bit, because I was recently talking about Genesis and the coal that they're importing from Indonesia for the Huntly Power Station. They have no plans to decommission that facility. They're supposedly looking into alternative fuel options, including a possible biomass trial that they're going to do next year. But how can the country stop being reliant on coal so quickly?
Well, I mean, it's a great example, isn't it? Because this consultation document today is really still pretty vague on it. You know, this government was elected back in 2017 with a promise of no more mines on public conservation land. Still hasn't delivered on that. You know, we're campaigning on no new coal mines. But the government still hasn't made any action even on that. There's no suggestion of doing that in this document. The consultation document's pretty silent on how exactly it's going to increase the supply of renewable energy. It's pretty weak on demand side. You know, how it's going to help manage down our demand for electricity so that this problem doesn't recur. And that's kind of indicative of the whole problem here, that actually strong action is required. It will have implications for industry, it will have implications for how we all live our lives. But that's kind of what people expect the government to provide. They don't expect just rhetoric without matching action.
As far as public pressure goes, social demand for change. How do you think we as a nation behave in that fashion? I mean, sometimes we do very little, don't we, until we're absolutely forced into it.
Well, I think that's not just a New Zealand thing. I think that's actually a human trait, you know, that we don't tend to react to the threat that's coming until it's right on the doorstep. And of course, when you have a slowly developing catastrophic threat like climate change, you know, that trait really doesn't serve us very well at all. And I think one of the things that government can do that will change that dynamic is by plotting out, you know, a course for how we can reach the kind of targets that we need to be able to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees. Because as soon as people see hope, see an actual path that they could get behind and support, they do actually rally around that. I mean, I think about, you know, we started this conversation talking about some of the parallels between the COVID situation and climate change. Last year, when people were asked about how they wanted to see the New Zealand economy recovering, people in overwhelming numbers, you know, three quarters of New Zealanders said, we want a recovery from COVID that actually deals with climate change as well. And certainly Forest and Bird was offering some solutions at that time. And in our comments today, we've offered some more. You know, there's a whole lot more of planting native forest that has to be done. There's, you know, wetland restoration. There's all sorts of things that we can do that are nature-friendly, that actually will get us towards our climate change targets, and are also great ways of reshaping the economy in ways that produce great jobs for people.
Just before you go, can I just put some criticism to you from a texter, so you can answer this. Ian has texted to say, to Kevin, the BS emphasis on agricultural methane fabricated figure of emissions doesn't persuade me that Kevin knows what he's talking about. Methane emissions in New Zealand are natural, less than claimed. Other industrial world sources are absolutely huge and ignored by the hypocrites outside New Zealand. He says dirty dairy, I say dirty lies. Smashing New Zealand's agriculture is folly, and New Zealand's coal use is minuscule on world standards of use and production. He exaggerates New Zealand's faults. That's from Ian. That's a lot to take in there, but
yeah, can you answer that? There is a lot there, and I guess the thing that I would say is that I know that the kind of change that we have to make is going to be threatening for a whole lot of people. That's why Forest and Bird is a strong supporter of a just transition process where we all share in the cost and burden and effort of making the changes that we need to do. You know, lots of farmers are already farming within the kind of emissions targets that we need the sector as a whole to reach. Just as lots of farmers are already managing within the sort of freshwater pollution targets that we need to reach. I know that people are uncomfortable, you know, with some of the facts about climate change. I know people think, you know, we're only a small nation, you know, perhaps we should, our contribution should be ignored. But we're a developed nation. We're a nation that has a history of leadership on the world stage, and we're a nation that currently is not living up to that reputation and that track record, and we really should be.
Kevin, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
No, thank you, Karen. Great to speak with you.
And with you. That's the Chief Executive of Forest and Bird, Kevin Haig.